Let us pray. O God, make sense of these words, that we can understand them, that we can take them in, that we can use them, that they may be helpful for us. May all that we say and do be glorifying to you. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We all know what phobia means, right? What does phobia mean? Fear, panic. Okay. So I would like you to think, what is my phobia? So I'll give you like a few seconds, because I would like to ask you, what are you really scared of? So, who should I ask? Tyler, what are you fearful of? What are you really afraid of? Nothing. Oh, wow. I'll come back to you. Okay. Leah, what are you really afraid of? What are you scared of? Rodents. Yeah, rodents kind of freak me out too. Stephen, what are you really afraid of? Balut? Yeah. Do you have your answer now, Tyler? Joe Beth? You're really scared of Joe Beth? Really? Is Joe Beth here? Anybody else would like to share? What? Yes, Scott. Other drivers. Yes, yes. That can be scary. That's right. You know, only in California, you mean? Yeah. Anybody else? Anything you're really afraid of? Anything you're really scared of? Well, I thought I'd share something, and because Leah talked about camping, I thought I'd share this experience with you. When I was in college, I worked at a camp in Michigan, and I was a dishwasher. So I wasn't involved in the programs or anything like that. And so they would just ship kids in every week. Well, one week, they shipped in a lot of kids from Detroit. Tons of kids that didn't have enough counselors. So they said, Bob, would you like to be a counselor? And I said, okay, what do I have to do? And he said, well, the camp had a lake. He says, go down and help them over there, the lake. So I get down to the lake, and you know what they're doing? They're fishing. And all these little kids from, these African-American kids from the inner city are fishing, right? So this one kid is fishing, and he says, he turns to me and says, how do you put the worm on the hook? And I say, pick up the worm, put it on the hook. How? Well, just pick up the worm and put it on the hook. And you know what he said? Ooh, I don't want to touch it. Now, I didn't want to touch it either. I didn't want to let him know that. So I just gripped my teeth and I grabbed the worm, and I was like ready to throw up, and I put it on the hook. And I was like, wow, I can do this. You know, so I'm helping all the kids put the worm on the hook, and they're fishing, and you know what I'm thinking, right? I hope they don't catch a fish, because you know who they're going to talk to now. So the same kid catches a fish. And so the kid says, how do you take the fish off the hook? And I say, well, get the fish and take them off the hook. But how? Just get the fish and take them off the hook. You know what he says? Ooh, I don't want to touch it. I didn't want to touch it either. I didn't want to let him know that. Because, like, I was kind of afraid of, like, live fishes on the hook. So it ain't that big. So it's like, you know, jumping around on the hook, and I'm freaking out, and I grab it, and I squeeze it real hard because I'm scared, and I think I killed it. And I took it off the hook. And I overcame my fear. I was able to do it. So that's a lesson. If you don't know how to do something, you're scared of something, you can do it. We're all scared and fearful of certain things. I mean, a lot of us are scared, fearful of the future. We're fearful of change. We're fearful of other people. We're fearful of environments. There's a lot of things that we fear. There's this, it's baseball season now, right? We have any baseball fans? Just Scott, okay. There's this one pitcher, and his name is Jack Morrison. I think he retired, and he said, the reason why I'm so good is because I fear failure. So he said, when I went out on the field, I was so terrified of failure that I enjoyed doing much more that than winning. You know, I just didn't want to lose and fail. And so he was motivated by fear. So we're fearful of so many things, but the disciples were fearful for different reasons, right? They were in the walls of this house because they feared being imprisoned and punished and put to death because they believe in Jesus. And they set up this sort of self-imposed fear. They're hiding and they're huddled together and they're holed out in this house, and they're locked in. They didn't know what to do. They didn't want to go forward. They were just paralyzed and immobilized. But it's Easter, and Jesus breaks through the walls, and he goes through the fear. That's the power of the resurrection. That's what Jesus was able to show them. And so he got through to them. He got through the walls and the fears. And he wants to help them to get through their fears in the same way Jesus wants us to get through our fears. And so the way to do that then, Jesus gives them some advice. How can I just get through this? He says, peace be with you. And he says it three times. When we say peace be with you, it's Jesus' peace is not of this world. It's a peace that passes all understanding. It's a peace beyond not as the world gives. It's a peace that's a perfect kind of peace. And it gives us calm. It gives us relief. It helps us to quiet ourselves and relax. And when we say, peace be with you, which we do every week, we are conferring some kind of be well, be at peace, have faith, let go, surrender. And when we say to each other, peace be with you, we are trying to sprinkle that on them. We are trying to pour that on them so that the anxiety, the worry, the panic, sometimes the feeling that the world is ending or that the sky is falling, we're able to have courage just to get through that peace and not freak out. So Jesus says that, and he wants their peace of mind to be alleviated and relieved of all of that stress and distress and anguish and whatever they're facing. So that's the first thing that we can use to help other people get through the fear is to say, peace be with you. I'm with you, and peace be with you. Then in verse 22, he talks something about, he says, receive the Holy Spirit and forgive each other. Now, you know, we're all very intense people, and a lot of times we spend our time studying, or working, or achieving, and succeeding, and going forward and advancing. And sometimes what we need to do, as Jesus is saying, is receive. We're so busy with the output that we're not receiving of the Holy Spirit, which gives us helps us to be filled up. Because sometimes our well gets empty. Sometimes the reservoir that we have inside, the rivers that flow out of us are drying up. We need to receive so that we can be primed again and so that we can have that balance and equilibrium and the nurturing that we need. It's hard for us to receive because we always want it to be giving. And sometimes we want to generate our own inspiration. We want to pump ourselves up. We want to do everything ourselves, but we have to acknowledge that we need the Holy Spirit. But also connected to that is the part that says forgive, because if you retain the sins and you don't forgive, then yours is not. Now, sometimes in the church, I find and experience some people get angry at other people, and they feel hurt by church members, and so they want to get back at them or get revenge or hold a grudge. And what the scripture says is, if you don't forgive and you think that you can hurt that other person, you're not, because you're just hurting yourself. You're turning it in on yourself. That grudge, that anger, that animosity is starting to form this acid inside of you, and it eats you up. It doesn't hurt them. It hurts you. So forgiveness. On Good Friday, Gwen was giving the passage about, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so she raised the point, why does Jesus have to ask God to forgive them? Well, it's because Jesus can do it by himself. He can't forgive them completely by himself. No matter how hard we try to forgive other people, we can't do it ourselves. We need God's help, and we need to be strengthened and bolstered. In this world of competition and comparison, you know, I was reading this book about, or this magazine article about how by nature our brains want to connect with other people, and that we're built so that we can actually read other people's minds. Now, we can't read everybody's minds, but there's certain people we can read their minds. We know that they're going to be feeling something and thinking something and experiencing something. And so our minds want to connect. Our minds want to have empathy. And our minds want to be in fellowship and relationship. One example they used was that, have you ever thought of somebody that you're close to, and then in that moment that you're thinking of them, they call you? That happened to me last week. I haven't seen a friend all summer, since last summer. And I was saying to myself, you know, I really need to call that person, and I should do it. And right as I was thinking that, that person called me. Has that ever happened to you? You're thinking of someone, and then all of a sudden you're just connecting. We're wired that way. And it's a way of, instead of the competition or the fear of failure, it's a moving towards that person versus moving against that person. Another common mistake we make, which Thomas made, was that you try to explain everything away. You try to be logical. You try to be rational. And so you're debating, and there's argument and skepticism and doubt and science, and pretty soon, like Thomas, you're closing your mind, we're closing our mind to the possibility that there can be a miracle, that there can be the supernatural, that God can move in ways beyond our arguments or our logic. And so Jesus goes to Thomas and points that out. So is all fear bad? Well, there's a good kind of fear, and Leah pointed it out to me the other day, that there's this concept called FOMO. Any of you heard this? FOMO? What is FOMO? You know what it is? What is it? Fear of missing out. That's kind of a good fear, right? Because you know that there's something good there, you know that something of value, and so you fear that, oh, I don't want to miss that, I want to go and experience that, and so you're motivated in a good way with that fear. Now, when Jesus came back a second time, he didn't want Thomas to miss out, because Thomas was gone the first time. So Jesus was there to make sure that he was included and that he could experience the joy and the grace and the mercy of Jesus. And God wants us not to miss out, not to miss out of the resurrection, not miss out of the goodness and the abundant living that God has for us. So peace be with you. And where are we sent? We're sent to go through the fear, and we're sent out into the world because we want to sometimes hide or lock ourselves in. But the message of the resurrection is face the world, get through the fear, embrace the world, and interface with people. So peace be with you. Don't miss out. Amen.